Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Today we gather in person in public worship of Almighty God. Let us worship God in spirit and in truth. We invite your prayers and responses. Please note possibilities for ministry and pastoral support available this week as noted on our website. With joy this morning, we welcome to our pulpit in dialogue the Reverend Dr. Jessica Chica and Dr. Scott Allen Jarrett for a special Bach experience upon this Reformation Sunday 2021. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. As we are able, may we stand in the praise of God. Pray. Almighty and gracious Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep us steadfast in your grace and truth. Protect and deliver us in times of temptation. Defend us against all enemies. And grant to your church your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated.
A lesson from St. Paul's Epistle to the Romans, chapter 3, verses 19 through 28. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced, and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For no human being will be justified in his sight by deeds prescribed by the law. For though the law comes the knowledge of sin, but now, apart from law, the righteousness of God has been disclosed and is attested by the law and the prophets. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, they are now justified by his grace as a gift. Through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ, whom God put forward as a sacrifice of atonement by his blood, effective through faith. He did this to show his righteousness, because in his divine forbearance, he had passed over the sins previously committed. It was to prove at the present time that he himself is righteous, and that he justifies the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of boasting? Is it excluded? By what law? By that of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that a person is justified by faith apart from works prescribed by the law. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Please join me in reading responsively Psalm 46 with the antiphon. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of the city, which shall not be moved. God will help it at the dawn of the day. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. God's voice resounds, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has wrought desolations in the earth, who makes wars cease to the end of the earth, breaks the bow, shatters the spear, and burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And now, beloved, rise up in body as you are able, but certainly in heart, for this singing of the Gloria and the reading of the Gospel.
Thank you. Holy Gospel according to St. John, chapter 8, verses 31 through 36. Glory to you, O Lord. Then Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying, 'You will be made free'?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The son has a place there forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. Please be seated. Good morning. Can I say what an absolute thrill it is to get to share God's word with you today? I am always excited to preach when the dean offers, but to get to share those duties with my friend and colleague, Scott, and also to be able to do it discussing Luther and Bach on Reformation Sunday, which also happens to be Reformation Day. It's like the Lutheran Super Bowl. I even wore my team's colors. And its insignia. The Luther Rose appears right here on the bottom of my stole. Well, I know today is another holiday celebrated in the U.S., something about Halloween or something. October 31st will always be Reformation Day for me, first and foremost. All kidding aside, Reformation Day is a significant marker of changes within the church and a reorientation to the personal, unmediated relationship people have with God. It is where many of our familiar forms of Protestantism find their roots in one way or another, emphasizing the role of justification by faith and God's unconditional gift of grace. Many of us are familiar with the general story of Martin Luther nailing his 95 theses to the door of the Schlosskirche, or the castle church in Wittenberg. What began as a conflict with the church over the use of indulgences to assist people in attaining absolution, not only for themselves, but for those who had died, resulted in centuries-long changes and divisions within Christianity that continue to this day. It also began a major shift in theology, emphasizing the ever-present role of God as our foundation, as mediated through the means of grace, which for Luther are the scripture and the sacraments. The abuses of the church were causing people to falsely put their hope in what they had to do to achieve salvation, straying them from the true guidepost for a life of faith, the gospel. As we heard Dean Hill say in his sermon last week, see, I was listening, Luther risked fracturing the church apart for the sake of the gospel. One of Luther's driving factors in challenging the church was that people's souls were on the line. In convincing people that they had to buy indulgences to ensure salvation, the church was misdirecting and misinforming people about how salvation is attained. Notably, for Luther, salvation is attained through faith, sola fide, faith alone. Luther's focus was not to separate the church into factions, which is ultimately what happened, but to reform the church to a radical return to the gospel as the guiding principle, sola scriptura, by scripture alone. Luther's theological perspective removed power from human institutions, which are inherently corrupt because they are made by corrupted beings, for we are all sinners, and instead emphasized that God is the only true source of power, love, and grace. God's effort is what saves us, not our own. It is difficult for us to hear this in a culture that puts so much emphasis on achieving whatever you want in life if you just work hard enough. The Lutheran message of salvation through sola scriptura, sola fide, sola gratia, scripture alone, faith alone, grace alone, squarely places responsibility for our salvation in the hands of God. In today's gospel, we hear the familiar phrase, "You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Despite the fact that this line of scripture does not occur in our regular lectionary readings, we have heard it, or forms of it, echoed in our society. Hearing this quote out of context may cause us to question, well, what is the truth? As some sort of abstract concept or idea, and what are we being made free from? However, in context, Jesus tells the disciples and us what the truth is. In the first half of this sentence, Jesus states, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples." Then follows it with, "You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Continuing in Jesus's or God's word makes one a disciple of God. The Greek word used here is menon, which is more than just continuing to follow in Jesus's teaching. Instead, meno means abiding in the word, accepting and remaining in relationship with Jesus, who is the word. The question here is not what is the truth, but rather who is the truth. Abiding in God's word enters us into a transformative relationship with the divine in which we come to know the truth by having our lives completely reoriented through the radical love we encounter in Jesus' death and resurrection. We are made free through our faith, which comes in abiding in God's word. In Luther's language, we are justified in our faith in Jesus Christ, made free from our sin through God's gift of grace. When we are set free from sin through God's grace, we are set free to love and serve one another. One of the most common critiques of Lutheran theology is that it de-emphasizes the role that works play in the life of the Christian. Yes, Lutheran theology does say that faith and not works is what justifies us to God, but the freedom that comes from our faith and trust in God and God's promises enables us to share love with and be in service to others. Good works flow out of a life grounded in faith. The relationship we have in trusting in the triune God transforms how we think and act in all ways in the world. The problem with how many of us conceptualize our approach to a life of faith is that we think God wants me to do that as the driving factor for the decisions we make. It may very well be that God does want us to do the things we are intending, but first we must be aware that we can't do it alone. It is faith in God that supports us along the way. Psalm 46 speaks to God's constant support of God's people through the ages. God is not only our support, but our refuge and our strength. When we fear, when we face uncertainty, God's presence provides the security to help us continue on our way. In the psalm, the whole world is in tumult. Natural disasters, political upheavals, and even the notion of change itself are the realities that the human community has come to face time and time again, including in this passage. I'm sure many of us can relate to this feeling of chaos. It appears as if almost everything is in upheaval and the world does not feel as ordered or as certain as it may have been in the past. God is still with us through these times of trial, however. God remains steadfast when everything else is in a state of flux. Many of us are experiencing fear and trepidation about what the future will hold for our communities, our country, and the world. Turning on the news, looking at the internet, or even hearing the weather report at this point can induce a sense of panic. So much has changed in the past year, some definitely for the better, but much that has caused us to feel alienated from the world that we once knew. We do not know what to do in facing such huge societal and global problems, such as a continuing pandemic, political division, racism, bigotry, economic upheaval, and increasingly destructive natural disasters due to climate change. These issues are so large and have created so much harm that we are overwhelmed. However, we come together today as a community of faith to hear the good news of Jesus Christ and to lay down these burdens for a while, finding sources of hope and bolstering our faith. God's advice to us in these times, according to the psalmist, is to be still and know that I am God. Be still. Be silent. Have faith. These are things you need to be a follower of God. You may remember, again, Dean Hill's call for us to seek out the quiet in order to feed our faith in last week's sermon. Carry out the quiet, says Dean Hill. You do not need endless cable TV to have a happy life. The same for email, Zoom, texting, techni, all. Carry out the quiet. For a good life, you do and will need quiet. When we share in this stillness, this time of reflection with the divine, we can discover the ways we abide with Jesus. We can hear the still small voice within us, helping us to see the world in a new way. Silence sustains us for action. Psalm 46 was also the inspiration for Martin Luther's hymn, A Mighty Fortress, which most will probably identify as the Lutheran hymn. I believe our music director might have some more to tell us about A Mighty Fortress and how another famous composer, J.S. Bach, interpreted Luther's original hymn and theology. Scott?
God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. Be still and know that I am God. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Strength for today, bright hope for tomorrow. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. These are all familiar sources of strength, hope, encouragement, assurance, confidence. They're all offered not just to calm and heal what ails us, but to give us the ability to live the gospel each day. Each day, we re-enter the world with a chance to discover the image of God revealed in each of us anew, as surely as the sun rises. Some days we fare better than others. Some days we don't enter the world at all. We choose to hide, lacking the courage to leave the house, to pick up the phone, even turn on cable TV, or worst of all, to check email, eschewing contact with the world. Pandemic has exacerbated that instinct in me, perhaps in you as well. But this is exactly the moment to recall Psalm 46, Luther, and the assuring invitation of John chapter 8. Knowing that God is our refuge and strength, we can enter the world each day unencumbered by the negative integers of shame, disappointment, worry, and doubt. The work of daily reconciliation is easiest to begin at least at a neutral point, without those negative integers. From that neutral position, we can even start the car, back out of the driveway, walk to the T, board the trolley, and head inbound. But it's the message of John 8, the invitation to abide in the Word, to live a life that becomes the gospel, that reveals the best chance for the image of God to be revealed to and through each of us. It is this positive integer that provides the lift, not just for us, but for our neighbor and for those we encounter each day, expected and unexpected, visibilium et invisibilium. Bach deeply understands the way in which Psalm 46 gives us strength for today, and that John 8 reveals the path for a bright hope for tomorrow. Law and grace, freely given, inextricably connected, working daily for and in each of us. These are but a foretaste of the life hereafter, a life abiding in the Word, living into the gospel, loved into freedom from sin, then freed to extend Christ's love to one another. This theology was well understood some 200 years after Wittenberg. Add Luther's catchy hymn tune, and every shopkeeper and merchant could whistle while he worked the livelong day, recalling God as refuge and strength. Johann Sebastian Bach colludes with Luther in Cantata 80 in a counterpoint that became emblematic of the best of Protestant church music and enduring legacy to this day. Welt, geh aus, lass Jesum ein. World, get out, let Jesus in. Lord Jesus, abide in my heart that your word might be in my mouth. An ever-present strength in time of trouble. Lift up your hearts. God is our refuge and strength. Bright hope is tomorrow's gift. The courage of God's strength is for today.
Thank you, Scott. This Reformation Day, we are reminded of all the ways the church has faced challenges in the past and have the opportunity to envision what hope we can bring to the church of the future. And coming together today and each Sunday as a community of faith to share in God's word, including the musical offerings we are about to hear, we are emboldened in our assuredness of our salvation through Jesus Christ. May God guide us in the spirit of this ongoing reformation, awakening, affirming, and strengthening our faith. God is our foundation, and we are constantly renewed and reformed by abiding in God's word. We are set free from the bondages of sin by the truth established for us in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, God's one true word. Amen.
Thank you. Kind Gottes, die so große Liebe, da Jesus sich mit seinem Blute dir verschrieben, womit er dich zum Krieger wieder Satanzier und wieder Welt und Sinne geworben hat. Deine Seele dem Satan in den Lasten statt. Lass nicht dein Herz den Himmel Gottes auf den Erden zur Wüste werden. Bereue deine Schuld mit Schmerz, das Christi Geist mit dir sich verbinde.
Dass dein Sieg auf dir den Weg zu deiner Krone bahne. Tritt freudig an den Krieg, wirst du nur Gottes Wort so hören aus bewahren, so wird der Feind gezwungen auszufahren. Dein Heiland bleibt da. Dein Heiland bleibt dein Ort.
Blessed in word and music, we pause to offer our glad-hearted thanks to our preachers, instrumentalists, choristers, and director. We pause now to make our Sunday offering. We inherit a tithing tradition and practice such disciplined generosity week by week, giving to the glory of God and giving for the healing of the nation. Before us, the life within us, the fellowship among us and thy love that surrounds us, we give thee thanks, O Lord. Bless these gifts and the givers, we pray. Amen.
Now, brothers and sisters, let us remember the words of Christ Jesus. If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Amen.